today on Real Radio.
All they can do is talk down about church and Christians and how Christians, well, those Christians are doing everything wrong. Those Christians, they're too short, they're too tall, they're too big, they're too small. They name the name of Jesus, but they attack constantly.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that the Lord has put eternity in our hearts. Therefore, we are subject to spiritual relationships and we're prone to pursue them or even search for them. In our biblical worldview and spirituality sessions, Pastor Jack answers the question, what could possibly be wrong with a person being spiritual? Today, Pastor Jack warns us of an evil purpose afoot in our world today. False prophets among us who will entice the believer with signs and wonders and promises of wealth, and many will follow in their ways. The true Christ follower, however, cannot be deceived if they put on the armor of God, stay strong in the Lord, and stand against the lies of the devil. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Many people today on LSD, some sort of acid trip, mind freaking out, dope, drug scene trip. People have said, man, I saw things. I don't ever do that again. I saw demonic stuff. I believe, based on the Bible, you saw some real things. It opens a door. Boy, I wish I could talk more on that for a moment, but we cannot do that. Let's keep going. What does the next thing say? The internet. Interpret omens or engage in witchcraft. Looked like internet there for a second, didn't it? Engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or as psychics or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Idols, images, and icons. Watch out. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, 19. Paul says, do I mean then that sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Watch this. Or that an idol is anything? No. What was he saying? Idols are powerless as a material piece of plastic or porcelain or metal, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Yikes, have you ever seen anyone bow down to an image? The Bible says they're actually bowing down to the powers that are behind the image. Statue, icon, idol. Do you bow down to an icon, to an image, to a statue and pray? The Bible says there are demons in that practice. Get away from it. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons too, or also. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Isn't that tremendous? Why? What's the point? Mark 13:22. Jesus said, Mark 13:22, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. Church, let me get something right here straight. I hear this misquoted a lot, Mark 13:22. The Bible says, if possible, Satan would deceive the very elect. Can you look at that? Anybody have a logic class in school? Do you know what that statement means? That statement means that it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. The power of deception is so strong that if you are not God's chosen child, you will be deceived. But because you are, you will not be deceived. But the enemy will bring people so close to the brink that if it were possible, even the believer could be deceived. Answer, believers, true believers cannot be deceived. You need to understand that. Do you know somebody who's living in deception? It's possible they're not a true believer. Serious stuff? I didn't make that up. That's the scripture teaching that. Jesus said it himself. And there's an evil purpose afoot in our world today more than ever. 2 Peter chapter 2. You guys okay?
Yes.
still introduction. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people. He's speaking past tense. This is very nerve-wracking. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, undetectable. The word means to slip or to slide in, to hide among the true. The Bible says there will be deceivers secretly bringing in among you, your camp, destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. That's broad. And bring on themselves swift destruction. It doesn't mean that they're exposed quickly. It means that when their end comes, they're taken away and that without remedy. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, misrepresented. By covetousness, what does that mean? By their lifestyles. You're going to know who they are. I'm a multimillionaire because Jesus made me rich and he needs to make you rich. And if you're not rich, how come? Have you ever seen these guys? I live in Bel Air. Why don't you? You need more faith. And if I had the faith to take my fist, that's doctrines of demons, that's heresy, and that is a manifestation of them using the word of God and the audience of God to deceive people for their own covetousness. They will exploit you with deceptive words, and for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. That's terrifying, huh? It's en route. It's coming like a piece of mail. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, it must have been a shock. In this Kodak moment, Jesus says, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that is overlooking the Temple Mount, the disciples came to him privately saying three things. They asked him three questions. Tell us, when will these things be? Second, what will be the sign of your coming? And thirdly, the end of the world, the end of the age. And Jesus said to them, shocker, it's amazing. Take heed, watch out, that no one deceives you, for many will come in my authority, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. That's heartbreaking. That's tragic. I'm going to give you a verse in a moment. You need to mark it down. Write it down in your margins. Acts 20, 29. Before I read it, some of you may remember Dr. Walter Martin, and I said this recently. I may have said it a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating in my opinion. Dr. Walter Martin said something years ago, and it upset a lot of people. And the longer I've been able to think about it, the more I see the truth of what he was saying. He said, you need to thank God for the cults that are in your area of your local church. Now, Dr. Walter Martin was the expert on cults. I don't think we've ever had a greater man since in exposing the cults. But boy, that statement really got people perked up. And he said, here's the reason why. There are some people who are very, very spiritual people, but they want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But boy, are they spiritual. And he said, if those locations of those cults were not there for your, in your community, all those nuts would be in your church. Isn't that a something? No, he said that some 30 years ago, and it still packs an impact now. People are starving to have some spiritual appetite fulfilled in them and satisfied within them because they want to be spiritual. But listen, there's a spirituality that kills, and there's a spirituality that saves. It all depends on the object of which your spirituality is focused. Because a lot of young people today are saying and confessing, oh, I'm spiritual. But the truth is, you want nothing to do with Jesus, your very creator. And this is a serious thing. Acts 20, verse 29. Paul wept when he said this. He was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. Savage wolves are going to go to church, and they're not going to spare the flock. Also from among your own selves, in your own groups, in your own gatherings, I don't care how small, church, Jesus had a church of 12 people, and one of them was Judas. Also, from among your own selves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away the disciples after themselves. All they can do is talk down about church and Christians and how Christians, well, those Christians are doing everything wrong. Those Christians, they're too short, they're too tall, they're too big, they're too small. They name the name of Jesus, but they attack constantly. Can you think of anybody like that in your life? I'm just asking you to think. If not, if you haven't met anyone, keep this standard, this litmus test. Can you think of anyone in your life who claims to be a Christian but can't stand the Church of Jesus and just chews Christians up? Always negative and critical about what anybody else does in the name of Christ. You know anybody like that? They're all over the internet. They're all over the world. Every community has them. Everything's wrong with everybody else, but they're the only ones. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever seen that? Quick to critique everything else. They don't see the log in their own eye. They make it a point to tell others that others need to follow them. And the Bible exposes them right there in Acts 20. They do it all so that they can gather. Another thing is that they have a special insight track on how to get right with God. I've been a Christian long enough to watch the holiness group cycle through. Many of you have been believers for a long time. You know what I'm talking about. I lived through and survived the shepherding movement where there were groups of people that rose up and they said, you know, you got to be this little group and there's no leader. They would always say, there's no leader. This is big 30 years ago. There's no leader in our group. Who would say that? The leader would say that. There's no leader in the group. But when you want to marry someone or sell your house or if you want to take a trip, I'm not joking. I or we will tell you who to marry and when you can go on a vacation or what you can do with your money. I'm dead serious. Look it up. It's old stuff that always recycles. It was called the shepherding movement when I first got saved. Jesus called them in Book of Revelation the Nicolaitans. There's nothing new under the sun. Where does it come from? Doctrines of demons and demonic powers to control people. I could go on all day with this introduction. We're not going to do that. With the few moments we have left, let's go to point number two then, huh? Our biblical worldview and spirituality. Number two warning is refusing to consider the obvious. Will you write that down? Refusing to consider the obvious. Eternity and the eternal awareness of the human being comes from the fact that you're not an angel, you're not an animal, you are someone created in the image of God. And listen, when Paul said in Acts 17, 16, we read it a moment ago, he said that he was provoked because the city was given over to idolatry. Because, why? Because there's this internal witness that we all have that there's a God that we must answer to. And we get a little nervous about that. This issue of eternity demands caution in our lives. Religion preaches eternity. There's no doubt about it. But listen, be careful, because without a cross, without Christ, without the resurrection, without sin, forgiveness, it's dangerous. We made mention before that we find it interesting as Christians when we read the Bible that Satan is always trying to reject the obvious. He's a created creature, but he's the one always trying to play the big stick to be on top. And he pushes and endorses spirituality, often laced and mixed with lust, attention-grabbing, power, control. Why? Because Eve fell for that very thing. The Bible tells us that Eve, when she heard Satan's temptation, oh man, did God say you shouldn't eat of this fruit? Oh no, Eve, girl, listen, he doesn't want you to know what he knows. He's not telling you the truth. Go ahead and eat it, and you'll be like God. Any religion that says you can become a god is right out, it's biblical, you know. It's right out of the book of Genesis from Satan's mouth. Be careful. Be careful. Watch out. You say, well, that's ridiculous to be a god. There are some evolutionists that hold to the view that The next great leap, you know, they're kind of lamenting that there's been no evolutionary breakthrough in the last observable universe of ours. So they're like, kind of get panicking. How come nothing's like popped? How come that frog in the backyard hasn't, you know, mowed your lawn yet? Nothing's happening. Why are there still monkeys? Why didn't they all evolve into us? Why do we still have some? And so some have said the next great evolutionary leap will happen in a moment. I'm not joking. Listen. It will happen in a moment, and man will go from an earthbound man to a God-man. That's the next step of evolutionary step. Man will realize his deity. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, of course it's ridiculous, but people are suckers for that. Eve, you guys, have we forgotten Eve? Adam and Eve, they were perfect when they messed up. You and I have no idea what they were like.
Well, I would never have done that. You.
Yes, you would have. Don't think Eve was some silly girl. She was perfect before she fell. Wow. Okay, well, you know what? Would such a thing ever happen again? Well, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You think, well, we're so advanced. We're so advanced that we know. No. Wait. This is yet futuristic. What I'm going to share with you in the Bible right now hasn't happened yet. I love that. I love to say that. It gets people upset. Are you telling me that the Bible isn't some old dusty book? No. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 says something that's yet to happen. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, that's the end days, will not come unless the falling away, apostasia, comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Well, who's that? Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. He's coming. To what? Listen to discussions about how Israel, they want to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. Will it ever happen? Yep. Who says? Bible. What's going to happen in it? Well, for the first 3.5 years, there's going to be worship without God, but there's going to be worship. Because there's going to be a treaty signed for 7 years that the Jews can do this. But in the middle, the Bible says, 1,260 days into the contract, says the Bible, he breaks the deal. He's called the Antichrist. And it says at that midpoint, he stands in the temple of God and declares himself to be God. Isn't it freaky? Look, can you look at my eyes? Look at my eyes. See my eyes? You know, when you talk to people, you know, I don't know about you, but I have to talk to people, I have to look in their eyes. Some people, they kind of bug me out when they won't look at you. Something wrong there. See, look at me. Let's talk. Why? Because that's as close as you can get to getting inside somebody, man. Oh, I got to tell you, this has nothing to do with the Bible study exactly. You guys, we were in Hawaii. We went to this amazing, awesome thing. And I can't remember. I'm jet lagged. I can't remember if I shared this with you guys on Sunday or not, but it doesn't matter. I'll repeat it. It's so cool. The guy that's putting on this show, he's just talking to the audience while he's getting ready, and he's going, and who are you? And what's your name? Oh, yeah. And he goes to this, and who are you? Oh, we're Susie and John, and we're from Tulsa, and we've been married 7 years. Oh, great. And what about you? And he's going around. All these people just happen to have been married that he's talking to. And then he goes to this one couple, and he goes, how about you? Oh, we're from Phoenix. Oh, yeah, what's your names? You know, whatever their names were. And so how long have you guys been married? Oh, we're not married. So he goes, oh, yeah, that's cool, man. You're not married? And you're in Maui? And you're not married? Where's your parents? How old are you guys? 20, 26? Where's your parents? Where are they in the audience? And they're like this. Watch this. I mean, I was terrified for them. And the guy goes, oh, your parents aren't here. And you have separate rooms, right? Because you're not married. You have separate rooms, right? You could hear the pin drop. And this show's packed out. It's sold out every night of the week. I mean, this is a big deal. This guy's a big deal. World famous guy. And he goes, so Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7? I'm thinking, man, this guy. And so, but you are sleeping in separate rooms. And the guy goes, yeah. And at the same time, the girl goes, no. What's the point? Look at the eyes. The guy, he'll just lie. And the girl, she just gives it up. No. Oh my goodness, I felt horrible. So then he found out, he's asking people in the audience, and he says, who are you? What are you? I said, and he found out I'm a pastor. And he goes, oh, you two need to talk to him right there. Very embarrassing. Very amazing. Listen, refusing to consider the obvious, it is this, that we are prone to worship. All of us worship something, someone. Wake up, my friend, listen, wake up. Wake up to the obvious. You are a creature created by God in his image. You are not an it, you're not a thing, you're not an accident. You may be here tonight or you may be watching right now and you're saying, my whole life is an accident. I can't believe my life has been so terrible. Listen, God loves you. This world hates you. This world will destroy you. God's got a plan for your life. And I don't know what's with us, huh? But we most often don't get that until we're flat on our back. We're whittled down to nothing. And then we'll listen to the one who loves us. Be careful that spiritual activity without Christ and anchored in the Word of God, the warning goes out. Number two, refusing to consider the obvious, you need to come back to the Lord. And you're groping in life. Believe it or not, you're groping to grab onto something firm. And the Bible says you need to find him. Point number three tonight, warning is this, making certain you're on the right road. All roads lead to God. People say that's not true. That is absolutely true. All roads do lead to God. You better read the fine print. Everybody must stand before God in the end, in the great judgment. All roads lead to God, but only one leads to heaven. There's a big difference. God will judge the universe, the Bible says, but only one road leads to heaven. Are you on the right road? How do you know? How do you know? Is it biblically based? Do you have a biblical worldview? See, the beautiful thing about a biblical worldview is nobody can shake you off of it because it's not a man's opinion. I was talking to somebody yesterday, on a radio program, and it was a topic, and they were discussing issues, and I was just saying, well, you know, if you look at this, this is what's going on. Yes, that's true. And I said, well, the reason why it's true is because the Bible says this. That's why. The Bible says this, and you look, and that's what's happening, and that's what the Bible said would happen. And the person was amazed by that. Well, that's amazing. Yeah, I guess it is amazing. But this is the God that we worship. Your biblical worldview dictates how firm you can stand in this world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Part 2. Thanks for listening today to the message here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack hopes that you stay faithful in your spiritual walk, avoiding the heartbreaking road of the enemy by anchoring yourself in the Word of God. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. Just breaking the ice, wouldn't you agree with that? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you've got the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show that to your friend. And if you don't have it yet, don't forget, it is a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend is already a believer, direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.